Turn to Psalm 92, Psalm 92, if you will, this morning. Psalm 92. Let's start with verse 7. I was going to read several verses, but I think you'll get the idea of what I'm looking at if we start at verse 7. When the wicked spring up as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. Now get the picture. He's thanking God for his goodness, the goodness of the Lord I'm referring to, and God's power. And he opens this by saying it's a good thing to give thanks to God, because God is there through all things. But then he gets off on his enemies. And the enemies that's around him, it looks like they're flourishing. It looks like they're prospering. It looks like everything they're doing is just abounding. And the more that they do that's wrong, it seems like the better off they are. But then when you get to verse 10, everything changes. Because when we face the enemies, there's one thing that makes the difference. He said, but my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. He said that in the face of all the enemies, the thing that makes it possible to carry on is the fresh anointing of the oil. Now you know from the Bible that the oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to speak for a few moments this morning about the anointing and how the anointing is likened unto oil in the Word of God. And some of the Old Testament and New Testament passages that deal with the oil and tell you about a few things why we need the anointing. Now let me get this clear in the very beginning. You can't do anything without the anointing. Can't preach without the anointing. You can't sing without the anointing. Jamie's ministry, we're all to be soul winners, but God has given her a special ministry of soul winning, personal visitation. But I'm here to tell you, when you hear that, you can't do that without the anointing. I wouldn't want to drive a church van without the anointing. I wouldn't want to teach a Sunday school class without the anointing. I sure wouldn't want to testify without the anointing, because one day we stand before God and everything we'll give an account for, and without the anointing of the Lord. And you know, we're in a generation that doesn't understand the anointing. They really don't, see. They think that the anointing comes on them, and they never see the importance of having the anointing in them. How that God anoints for purposes. And this oil is likened unto the anointing. Now, I've got a lot of things to say real quick. If you take notes, I want to just give you a few points very quickly. And I think some of the things God's touched my heart with, I pray it blesses you as much as it does me. One thing why we need the anointing is for understanding. In the Old Testament, when God gave the pattern for the tabernacle and then the temple, inside that tabernacle and temple both, there were no windows. You remember the tabernacle was covered with badger skin, had layers of curtains around it. There was no natural light that came into it at all. The only way of having light inside of the holy place was through a lantern that was provided with oil, and that oil was burning. And the Lord said concerning the temple that the light of the temple should never go out. That lamp should never run out. There should always be a vast supply of oil that's coming to that to light that. Because with that, it illuminated everything. There was no understanding for knowing what's going on without the oil, for without the oil, there was no light. And let's get this right. There's no understanding what's going on without the anointing of the Holy Spirit on us and in us. When he has come, the Holy Spirit, he will teach us all things. I know as never before, people have gotten so out of touch with the anointing that it's almost frightening to me as I look around and see what's happening in the church world today when it comes to the anointing, because there's no understanding. People don't want to understand the Word of God. I can't understand this Bible without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But when he illuminates, he helps me to understand and teaches me, because he inspired this and he is the one that gave the inspiration to be able to penned the word of God as holy men of God wrote it. So first, it was for understanding. Second of all, it was for uniqueness. Now this part will not go over well. And I wish I could tell you why, but I'm not God, and I don't know why, and I don't apologize for not knowing why, and I'm glad you know everything there is to know about everything. And God bless your heart. But God sent Samuel out to anoint David. But he didn't know who he was going to anoint. He took his horn of oil, and he went. He got to the household of Jesse, and if you remember right, Jesse had 8 sons. And they started bringing the sons up one by one. Eliab came up first. And when he looked at him, Samuel said, "Surely this is the one." Oh no, it wasn't the one. God said, "Don't anoint him." The next one come, "Don't anoint him." He went through 7 boys. Now I don't think there was a thing wrong with those boys. I don't think for one minute that they were doing anything wrong. I don't believe for one minute that God couldn't have used them like he used David. But yet after the 7, Samuel knew they weren't the one. And he said, "Do you not have any other sons?" "Yes, I have one son. He's tending this flock." He said, "Go and fetch him." That's how we know Hebrew talk and the same as hillbilly talk. "Go and fetch him." They brought him. A ruddy boy, but he was fair to look upon. When he looked at him, he didn't look like the one, but he was the one. Now you can say what you want to. God turned down 7 for one. That made him unique. Unique in the fact that he was a young man. Unique in the fact he went right back to tending sheep. Unique in the fact that he was willing to be patient. He was willing to wait on God. There is a uniqueness that is there. Now I want to tell you something, folks. This doesn't always go over well. But when the anointing is there, you stand out. There's something unique. There's something different about the mighty anointing of God. And when people are anointed by the Spirit of God, we're different. We're unique. I'm not into all of this new type of teaching and preaching that's going around. I'm absolutely sick of the quote unquote deeper life preaching. The deeper life preaching leads you to no convictions usually. I'm telling you, we ought to be different. The world ought to come into your church and say, "Now God is there. That's a different kind of place. It's okay to praise God. It's okay to say amen. Yes, it's okay to come to the altar and pray. It's okay to get carried away in the spirit. It's okay if the preacher doesn't get to preach and the singers don't get to sing. It's okay as long as we're anointed with fresh oil." Uniqueness. It's not that God loves one more than it's not that somebody has a better ability than others. Moses undoubtedly had a speech impediment. We wouldn't have caught him. And we wouldn't have had anything to do with using him. And over the years, some of the greatest preachers that God has used had some rare and unusual things about them. To look at them, you'd never said, "Let's use them." But God said, "No, I'll anoint them." It's not how loud they are. It's not how demonstrative they are. It's how unique they are. The separation is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And then I thought about this. The Holy Spirit, likened unto oil, we find out that it deals with unity. Unity. I preached not long ago from the 133rd Psalm, but I want to give you some. There's unity in any church where there is the anointing of the Holy Spirit in that church. I'm telling you, business goes better, church goes better, everything's better when the Holy Ghost is there. Thank all 3 of you for the amen. It does. Everything goes better when the Spirit of God is there. And I got to thinking about that. I don't know why, but I did some study on the human body this week. And I thought, why am I studying on the human body? I'm I know what God's led me to preach. I don't know why I'm studying on the human body, but I got intrigued with bones. And I visited someone this week, and they said, "Preacher, look at that." And they held their hands up. Bless their heart. Their joints were twisted, and they were in so much pain. These storms were coming, the type arthritis that they had. And I got intrigued with that, and I thought, why does that happen? Why does that happen? And I started reading. Really what happens is the bones, you know, they're imperfect. They're twisting. They're imperfect. I found out that when God made us, at our joints, every one of our joints, there's some fluid, and in that fluid is something that's called lubricin. Oil. Really, it's called nature's grease. That's what they call it. And what that does is that keeps friction from being on your joint. When bone is against bone, you have to have something to lubricate that. And that is there to make less friction. You don't hear what I'm preaching to you. Less friction that's there. Any church where the anointing goes, things start getting twisted. Things start getting painful. But when the anointing is there, there's a whole lot less friction. It's a whole lot better to be able to serve the Lord. I found out that lubricin is also one of the main lubricating ingredients in tears. When lubricin falls away and your body deteriorates, your tears dry up. When the anointing leaves, the tears leave. I'm going to mess around and preach this morning. Thank God. There's unity that's there. Not only is there unity, but also I think about the urges that we have are overcome because of oil. You remember we hear a lot, and I've heard others say that with manna, we know from Numbers 11, we know exactly what the manna was, and we've heard a lot of people say, what did manna taste like? We know what manna tastes like. Numbers 11 tells us, tasted like oil. Had no taste. Read it. Numbers 11. You can go to your Bible, number chapter 11. They ground it and they fried it in pans with oil and it tasted like oil. Some of you are staring at me strange. Like, preacher, are you sure about that? Go to Numbers 11. Do I have to read it to you? Let's go to it, because some of you are having a hard time swallowing it, and that's where I'm headed to. Numbers 11:8. And the people went about and gathered it, talking about manna, gathered it and ground it in meals and beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it, and the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. We know exactly what it tastes like. It tastes like fresh oil. You're not getting what I'm saying. Why was it frail? Why was oil such a part of the dietary life of the Jewish people in the Old Testament? Why did the Lord do that? Do you know that oil, that I read an article from a physician, that one of the papers that he wrote, oil, it eliminates the urge for hunger. That's what tasted like oil here. They had the oil in it because it satisfied their hunger. It satisfied their hunger. They weren't hungry. It makes you feel full. If it was bitter and they couldn't swallow it, if they would dip it in some olive oil, they could swallow it. If the bread got hard, and to prevent them from choking on it, they'd dip it in oil to soften it. And then they could swallow what they couldn't swallow otherwise. Some of you have a hard time swallowing my preaching lately because it has something to do with the Holy Ghost. You swallow it a lot better. When the anointing is there, you take preaching a lot better. You don't choke on it. I heard a fellow talking about how that he had a field that was covered with briars, and he wanted to get rid of those briars, and he didn't want to spray anything to kill out the briars. So he thought, what am I going to do to get rid of those briars? And he thought, I know what I'll do. And he got some goats. And he asked the guy he got the goats from. He said, will goats eat briars? He said, absolutely they will. And he pointed to old Billy Goat right there. He said, that Billy Goat will eat those briars like hay. He said, you're kidding me. He said, that's impossible. He said, I'll show you. So he took him out, turned him loose in the field. That old Billy Goat went out there. He had big old thorn briars on that briar patch. It cut off a stalk about that long, and it moved that stalk around, and it moved the stalk around, chewed it, gone right now. He said, how did that thing keep from sticking itself? He said, oh, it knows. Turn the briars the right direction, and you can swallow it as it goes in. Some of you choking on it because you're trying to eat it sideways. You all make me preach by myself today. You choke on it because you're trying to take it in the wrong way. You're not looking at it right. You look around and say, well, what's going on with this one? What's going on with that one? When are you ever going to learn about here? I don't preach to people now. I preach to what people's going to do down the pike. It's proactive. It's stopping it before it starts. It's a lot better to try to stop it now than to let it take root and try to put it out later on. God goes before us. He leads us not into temptation, but delivers us from evil. God goes before us. A preacher should preach before the problem comes, not at the problem. The preacher should preach before the heartache comes, not at the heartache. I'm telling you, it swallows a lot better if you're anointed with the Holy Ghost. How many of you heard of Uncle Bud Robinson? Go ahead, raise your hand. You heard of him. He was a Nazarene. Great, great preacher, great writer. He never made it today. They'd run him out of town on a rail. Some of you wouldn't worship with him. I'm telling you. I was reading an account by Dr. Henry Morrison. Dr. Henry Morrison was in a camp meeting with Uncle Bud Robinson. Uncle Bud Robinson used to have what they called a love feast. That's what he called it. Really, it's like a testimony service, or where the Spirit started blessing people and the love of God was shed abroad by the Holy Ghost in people's heart, and you didn't know what would happen. See, we're trying to rewrite church history just like they're trying to rewrite American history. Won't take God out of it. Uncle Bud got so stirred up. Dr. Henry Morrison recorded it. He got so stirred up testifying. When he started testifying about the goodness of the Lord and what God had done for him, that Uncle Bud Robinson, a Nazarene, fell out in the spirit. They thought he had a heart attack. They gathered around him. Dr. Henry Morrison said, back off, back off. Give the good man room. He's fine physically. He just broke off more than he can chew right now, but he'll get it down in a little bit. I'm telling you what, if people got under the mighty hand of God, people today would look at it and say, they're doing that for show. They're just trying to prove there's somebody else. Now, you may not want the anointing, but I do. I could care in the least if I get so weak in the knees preaching that I have to sit down and praise God. The important thing is, I don't want to do it without God. Fresh oil takes the urges away. You won't eat as much junk food if you have a little olive oil every now and then. Oh boy. And then too, I thought about how useful the oil was. They didn't have cosmetic counters in biblical times. But still they had great beauty. You know what they'd do? They'd take some oil and mix sand or salt in it. And then the women would rub it on their face. You know what they were doing? Exfoliating. Sorry, Tara, I didn't call you to get the information, but I hope I'm right. I don't do it myself. Oh, better stop, Cal. You're in deep water already. You know what that does? You know what that does? Why the sand or the salt? Grit goes against the grain. You know what it's doing? It's removing dead flesh. And the oil is helping to rejuvenate the new skin that's coming on. Praise God for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Takes away and removes the old dead flesh. The old dead person that we used to be takes that away, and we don't have to worry about it anymore. Then the precious oil makes us soft and gives us a brand new person through Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, it takes the anointing for that to happen. And then it'll make you upright. Well, where do you get that? Jesus in the New Testament talked about a man that was bleeding and dying. And the priest saw him pass by on the other side. And the Levite saw him pass by on the other side. But then the Good Samaritan saw him. And he came and he poured in two things, oil and wine, to cleanse and heal. Then he took him to an inn. And when it came time for him to go away, he told the owner of the inn, "You take care of him. Whatsoever more thou spendest, I'll repay you when I come." You know what he was saying? He's sick now, but you just keep putting in the oil and the wine, and pretty soon he's going to get back up on his feet again. And he's going to go from being down near death to being upright. And what you've done to help that happen, I'll repay you when I come again. The reason that we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit, there's a whole lot of people that's down. A whole lot of people, they're down. Stay down. You know what I'm talking about. Never have a good day. Nobody loves them. Nobody cares for them. Like Dr. Lakin that time met the lady at the back door, shook her hand, said, "How you doing?" She said, "Even when I feel good, I feel bad because I know I'm going to feel worse later." Down all the time. Down, 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 down. When the anointing comes, picks people up. You will never be any higher with God than you are when you're in a place where fresh oil comes from heaven and God lifts you up to set in heavenly places. The anointing. I want it. And I sure need it. And I hope you want it. If you do, the anointing is available. Fresh oil. Fresh wind. Fresh fire. God has it for you today. He has it for me today.